Morning. I was telling Jason beforehand that every time I speak, I wake up about 10 times in the night. Usually I'm dreaming about forgetting part of my sermon or something that's going to mess me up a little bit. But I'd like to speak to you this morning about the need for godly fathers and men in our communities. When we are out in the workforce and we have younger people who are just plain lazy and entitled working next to us, how often do we say this generation is lazy? When we see young girls having children out of wedlock in high school or children being disrespectful to their parents, how often do we say there is something wrong with this generation? I hear it more often than not, and have been guilty of saying it even though I am a millennial myself. But how often do we stop and think of why these young people are so challenged in their daily lives to make even the most basic of decisions? Some would refer to the scripture in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Although lots of people would say this describes the generation we are currently in, and say there's nothing we can do, it's just a sign of the times, I believe there is something that can be done if we identify the problem and make it a priority to solve it. A 2019 Pew Research study of more than 130 countries shows that the United States has the world's highest rate of children living in single-parent homes. 23% of children under age 18 live with one parent and no other adults. And more often than not, it is the mother who is in the home. The same study showed that children are growing up and staying at home well into adulthood. Another Pew Research study shows that in 1968, 7% of parents were unmarried. Move ahead to 2017. 25% of parents are unmarried and children mostly living in a single mother home. The shooter in the recent Texas school shooting is reported to have been in a home with his grandmother, with lack of a father, and in his case, a mother also. The news tells us that guns are to blame and we should ban them or have tighter restrictions. Maybe mental health is the issue or drugs, says other sources. But the reality is, first and foremost, a heart issue, as Miles has said this morning, and sin is rampant in our present human condition. But also, I think a big part of it is a lack of godly men in homes and in communities. There's an attack on family and Christian values. We look in scripture, we can see how important having a father in the home is and his role. In Psalm 78:5, it says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known unto their children." Deuteronomy 6:6-9, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates." Me and my wife used to eat at a restaurant called Maccabees. That's a Jewish deli on the west side of Des Moines. I think it was a couple years ago during their celebration of Hanukkah, they give you this booklet when they give you their sandwich. And they'd have these gifts you can purchase in this booklet, mainly for Jewish people. And the thing that caught my attention when I was flipping through this booklet was they had this bracelet thing. It almost looked like a watch. And it has a scroll with the Ten Commandments on it. And I remembered this scripture when I looked at that. And it's very important to them. The whole time that I was sitting there, this guy's telling me all about the Torah and how it's in them and how important it is for them to teach their children. And obviously they missed it with the Savior. But I think God wants us to be diligent in teaching our children today too. And that's part of I don't have this in here, but I'm going to touch on this briefly. That's a lot of the reason why Israel went into captivity, because they failed to continue to teach their children and do what God told them to do and teach them the precepts of God. And you see, in just one generation, it can get so out of control. Even in our generation, I mean, a lot of you older people probably remember in 1963, they took God out of schools. What was life like prior to that? And look at, fast forward to 2020, it's a mess. It really is. But yes, God was serious about teaching them the things of God to their children, and so should we be today. And no, you don't have to run out and buy one of those bracelets, but we should definitely be following Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I know and believe this scripture is true, not only because it is God's word, but also because when I look out here today, I see generations of Christians here today. So as fathers, we could see we need to be teaching our children godly things. We also need to teach them by disciplining them. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, but the rod of correction shall drive it far, Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. World will say that you are to not discipline your child. Just let them express themselves. For a moment, I would like to take you back to another school shooting. On April 20th, 1999, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold walked into the Columbine High School and murdered 12 students and one teacher and injuring 21 others before taking their own lives. Cassie Bernal was one of those murdered and also one who was asked if she believed in God and answered yes before she was shot. I am not going to speak to the motives a whole lot, except to say that there is a lot of evidence for them targeting Christians, and of course the media disagrees. I do want to talk about two different kinds of fathers in this situation. About a year prior to this tragedy, Cassie was having a lot of problems that would be considered just normal teenage problems. She was sneaking out, going to concerts, dabbling in drinking, cutting herself, not coming home when she was supposed to. Her parents, who were Christians, went through her room and discovered a lot of music as she was actually hiding. She was taking the actual cover out and putting different covers in on there, so they didn't know what she was really listening to. But they went through her room and discovered a lot of music that they in turn listened to the lyrics of. They found notes of suicidal thoughts and even a note talking about killing them. They immediately shut her friends off and took all privileges away, even going as far to tap their own phone. Cassie had been listening to people like Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails, and many other known artists of the day. Her parents did not believe these artists lined up with Christian values, and they put their foot down even putting Cassie in a new school. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Cassie Bernal, through godly leadership in her home, was restored to Christian values, with it being told by a survivor that she passed a note just hours prior to the shooting saying she wanted to give all to Christ. The two shooters, Claybold and Harris, were listening to musicians like Marilyn Manson, KMFDM, and Rammstein, which have very demonic and anti-Christian music. As you can see, there's a similarity in the kind of music that both of these, or all three of these children were listening to. These were all high school kids who were going down the same path. They all died on April 20th, 1999. The difference is Cassie had a godly man in her home that loved her enough to enforce the godly values of the Bible. Her life was changed. She was a baptized believer when she was killed. The other two, they were left to themselves without godly leadership in the home. They died as professed haters of Christ and murderers. Cassie could have been in the same position without her godly father. Thank you, Lord, for the godly men we do have. Ephesians 6:1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This doesn't mean you're not going to make your children angry. This means to not give them unfair severities, and be patient dealing with them fairly. I think I didn't have this in here, but it is true that most people with the father in the home, men and women, associate God with the way their father was. A lot of people, if they have a father that has a lot of rules and is hard on them, never good enough, a lot of people will associate God as the same way. Or if their father's really loving and gives them a lot of passes, they'll associate love and grace with their father. So I think that it's important to have a balance. We should be wise in what our children are consuming with media and entertainment. If God would not watch it or listen to it or say it, then we should not either. James 4:4-9. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Also be honest with your children and your faults. Tell them when you are wrong in areas with them and others. Shows them how to confess their sins to others and to Christ. The world says do not discipline your children and let them express themselves. But I'm here to tell you, after they are an adult expressing themselves, the world will have no problem locking them up and throwing away the key or striking them with their police batons of correction. All these things are easily avoided if we teach them right and wrong through discipline. Acts 5:29. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I had a kid work for me for a few summers. I just went to his graduation a couple weeks ago. Really, really good kid. Going to be a cop. Hardworking, respectful, just not the norm for a kid his age. So I asked him one day, I said, how did you become so well-rounded? And he simply, just quick as can be, simply answered me. He said, my dad gave me the Board of Education when I needed it. And just a really good kid. And that's not really that normal nowadays. You don't see a lot of people doing that. That the norm is, oh, give them time out, let them express themselves. And that's kind of how we get to the point where we're at now. We're not listening to what God said to do. And that's what it all comes down to. We need to listen to what God said to do. Think of how different this country would be by just implementing this aspect of godly principles. A father is very important in the home. Children who grow up in homes with their father present imitate a lot of the behaviors they watch him display, such as work ethics, how he treats his wife, his temperament, and many more things. Most women who have many relationships or relationships with way older men have admitted this is because of their desire for a father figure. Most men need positive reinforcement from their fathers and know they have become men upon their fathers telling them so. 1 Timothy 3:1-12. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. I know that these are the qualifications of elders and deacons. But as we can see from verse 4, one of the qualifications is that you rule your own house well, and then if a man know how, and that if a man know not how to rule his own house well, how shall he take care of the church of God? We should be practicing being elders and deacons in our own homes every day as fathers. All of these things were practiced on a daily basis in homes throughout America, we would not have the crisis we're having in this country. If fathers were getting married, having children, and teaching their children Christian values on top of work ethics, there wouldn't be so many help wanted signs, welfare programs, and crimes. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This also means providing spiritual needs of the home. It is not the church's job to teach kids about Christ. It is the father's job. It is not the teacher in the public school system's job to teach your child about life. It is you as a father's job. If we need help with being a man and what we should be as men, we can look at Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound in doctrine, that the aged men be sober. Sober means to be of sound mind or to be in your right mind. Grave. Grave means to be honest. Temperate. Temperate means to have self-control, sound in faith, and charity. Charity means to love and in patience. I'm an outsider to the church, but one thing I have seen being in different churches and watching different people is I noticed that the people, and this isn't always true, but I'm telling you, 90% of the time, to the people I paid attention to, the people, the men who are in their homes and they're teaching godly precepts and they're living it, their kids stay in the church most of the time. The ones who aren't, the ones who are slack on it, they just go to church every Sunday, they're just a few warmer, most of their kids aren't coming back to church. And I said, 90% of the time, that's the case. And I know that's hard to hear, but it's the truth. So we need to be intentional with everything that we're doing. We need to not just come to church on Sunday, we need to be living it in the home. And a lot of you may be thinking, what does this have to do with me? I have raised my children in a godly manner, and they are in the church and living for Jesus. Well, you're right. There are a lot of you in here that generations of you are, your children are living for Jesus. But there are also a lot of young men out there growing up who have grown up without a father, or are growing up without a father, and they are trying to figure out all of life on their own. How to do just about everything your dad probably taught you. Young men are in desperate need to be discipled, as we are called to do in Matthew 28:19-20. They need the moral values of Christianity for the next generation. That is where we come in. I'm not saying go adopt every kid you come in contact with. I am saying people you come across, take the time to get to know them. Ask questions to your coworkers and places you frequent. So show interest in others' problems. Once you show that you are interested and genuinely care, you can start imparting knowledge to them, biblical and life knowledge. Quickly, I want to say that this topic is close to my heart. My brother and I both primarily grew up without a father in the home. We both had major problems from young ages. I had such a major issues that I was sent to a boot camp at 15, and that is where I learned my work ethics, luckily. My brother was a different story. He didn't go to a boot camp, but his problems led him to go into prison at 18. He is currently on his way back to prison, has been out maybe 2 years in the last 12, and is going back for two more currently. His dad spent 18 years straight in prison, got out for 3 years, and is back in for another 10 mandatory. He has modeled the same behaviors as his dad, and even though my dad wasn't present mainly, I did model a lot of the same behaviors I knew he did. I hung out with the wrong people. I made all the wrong choices. I had two kids out of wedlock, and the cycle was going to repeat itself until a man that I work with every day discipled me. We talk about the Bible a lot, but what was of real value was watching his actions. He taught me how to be a godly man by just watching him in his day-to-day actions. He's one of the most honest men I've ever met. And he's not a perfect man, but I tell you what, he's a godly man, and he's really made an influence on my life, and I know other people's lives as well. And he isn't my father, and I don't pretend that he is my father, and he don't either. But he is my best friend. I am proud to say that he is my best friend. And I do hope that my father is saved before it's too late and we can someday have a relationship. But this man, who I now consider to be one of my best friends, not only changed my life through the gospel of Jesus Christ, but through me being a godly father, my wife and children's lives have drastically changed. And four children now have a chance to break the cycle that has been generations in the making. That is how important discipleship of men is. There's a growing cultural want for all these children's programs and to focus on the children. But the statistics show that if you get to the father in the home, you're more likely to change it. So, in closing, if you need help being a godly father, or you have not been obedient to the Heavenly Father by being immersed and added to His church, or you have any other need to bring before the congregation, please do so as we stand and sing the invitation song.